Hey guys, it's Christopher Lewis from Dating Intelligence, and we are doing a special treat for you guys today. Right now, we're in the month of June, and here in Los Angeles, it's pretty much June gloom. It's overcast, dreary, cooler weather, and it's just plain depressing. But I'm going to brighten this day by saying on the brighter side of the month of June has also been celebrated around the world as LGBTQ Pride Month to honor the 1969 Stonewall Uprising in Manhattan. Now, to stay in step, online dating behemoth Match Group has just introduced a new gay dating app just in time for the month of Gay Pride. The company, which owns the lion's share of the global dating market, has just launched Archer, a social-first dating experience for gay, bi, and queer men. And I'm very excited to have the director of brand marketing and communications on our show. So please welcome Michael Kay to the show. Michael, welcome. How are you?
Thanks so much. I'm doing a lot better than LA weather, I'll say
I hope it's warm there and sunny, is it?
that. It's actually doom and gloom here too. So you can brighten up New York and I'll brighten up LA.
Perfect. I think that's a good match for both of us. So I think, I'm just the beginning of June, everybody just runs around like zombies, just going, why is it so dreary? It's like summer is upon us, and this is what we get. And then usually around October, when the season should be changing, it's like freaking like hot as balls here. So I don't know about you guys, but it's just like some sort of flip-flop that happens all the time.
Yes, the weather here is all over the place, but I'll take it for now. I'm actually not a summer person, so the cooler weather is fine by me.
All right, so for our audience, I want you guys to know that once again, this is a rare treat because I'm actually on Zoom. My co-host Jamie Villamore, who's traveling around doing her thing right now, she's international doing her modeling thing. So I had to do this one-off with you. So Michael, we're going to be in this together. And usually, what I tell when I'm interviewing someone, I say that you're pretty much my co-host, and we're going to run through this together. But first and foremost, congratulations on your new app Archer and your brand management and all that, things like that. But I want to know a little bit more about yourself before we get into the dating apps and things like that, because I always have a lot to say about all this fun stuff. And I'm also excited to be a part of sharing this moment, during Pride Month and everything like that, and getting the word out for your app, which just launched. And so for people out there that are listening, once again, Archer app is a part of Match Group, and it's out and available for, I guess, people downloading and all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can download it right now in the App Store and Google Play for anybody in the United States, but the first people on the app will be in the New York City area, which we can dive into after.
Great, great. All right, well, in the meantime, I want to know a little bit more about yourself. I mean, you're in a pretty high position here, so but let's delve back into a little bit into your beginnings for yourself. I did a little bit of research on you, and I know that dating apps probably had helped you in the past in a little bit to put you at where you're at right now. How's being obviously I'm a straight male, but I have a big following of gay males that I love, and back in my modeling days and things like that. So I'm a big advocate for everyone and just human beings in general, and the LGBT community. Love everyone in it, and I just want to be able to support as much as possible. So I'd like to know a little bit more about your background and how you discovered that you yourself were, you know what, I'm a gay male, and I'm going to be in this space. So when did that happen for you?
Yes, well, first we love an ally, so appreciate your support. I probably realized that something was a little bit different about me when I was in seventh grade. I can pinpoint the moment during summer at camp and looking at a male lifeguard, and I was like, something feels weird here. But I didn't come to terms with it for a long, long time after. So I actually didn't come out of the closet till after I had graduated college. So today, at the time of our recording, I haven't even been out of the closet for a decade yet.
Wow.
So it was a really long journey for me. And when I had graduated college, that was the first moment where I realized I'm ready to talk to other gay men, to meet other gay men in a way that didn't feel so public. I was far from ready to come out at that point. And for me, I had just heard about Tinder a few weeks prior. This was 2014, so it wasn't like everybody that you knew were on dating apps. So I had heard about Tinder. I downloaded the app and started matching with other men and talking to them But I remember I refused to actually meet up with any of them. I was so petrified of someone seeing me in public with another gay man, because for years prior, anyone who was gay around me or flamboyant, I actually would always distance myself from them.
Okay.
I did not want anyone to see us and assume that I was gay, because it was just something I was really ashamed of and embarrassed. And it was really, really hard for me to come to terms with, to be totally honest. And I still think, almost a decade later, I'm still dealing with internalized homophobia. I still deal with trauma of being in the closet for so long. You know, it's not like you come out and it's all sunshine and rainbows from then on out. It's a journey, and everyone's on a different path. For me, I was really lucky that when I finally did come out, family was really accepting, friends were really accepting. Everyone around me pretty much said, well, duh, we've known. And that's, you know, such a unique experience. And for me, it took me a few years after coming out to realize, wow, I'm in a really lucky place. I am so incredibly fortunate to have had this experience coming out. Sure, it's challenging for me and, you know, we have a long road ahead, but to have that support system is so unique for so many young queer people. And that's why I actually reached out to the Human Rights Campaign, got involved with them, and volunteered with that organization for over 5 years to help the next generation of people like me, my own community.
I love that. You know, and just to make you feel more comfortable, it's just not, and this is for everyone, you know, we all go through some sense of like imposter syndrome or something like that. You know, me being in the dating coach space now and helping people navigate through relationships in the dating space world, your story is pretty much, I can resonate a lot to that as well. You know, me being a black male, I grew up in a family, you know, we were the Huxtables basically. You know, my dad's a doctor, my mom's a psychologist. I grew up in an upper white middle class area of Texas. And so for me, I didn't really know who I was, you know, being a black male. And to this day, you know, I still have moments of when I'm around other black people that I feel uncomfortable because it's just not my space. You know, it's not my comfort zone. So I understand where you're coming from. And over the years, I've related that, saying that, you know, like I'm sure as yourself, you just learn how just to love people and just to be, want all humans just to be just, you know, who they are, and just being accepted of who they are without having to have that fear of coming out or wondering, you know, if they're going to be liked or if someone's going to pass judgment on them and things like that. So I can completely resonate with your story. You know, it's funny that my daughter had asked me, she goes, I want to know more about my black side. You know, she's mixed. So, you know, my ex-wife is Caucasian. And so it's that thing where I said, look, if you really need to know that side, talk to my sisters, because I'm not the guy to talk to, honestly, because I'm just people. I just want people to see me as Chris. You know, there's no color involved and things that, and that's when I know I've done my job well. So I appreciate you telling your story, and it is, and it becomes a part of who you are and what you do in your life. And the next step is, I also appreciate that, you know, you've joined a group of to help others to figure out what they want in all sorts of space, just human rights, I hear, which is great. It has nothing to do with color, creed, or religion. And quite frankly, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are still figuring that out, whether you're 5, 6, 7, 20, 50, 60, you know, there's a lot of people still struggling with that. So,
yeah, I'm trying not to get choked up.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I mean, like I said, it's just like, just listen to your story. I mean, it's funny, like, everyone has something. So I appreciate the fact that, you know, that you said that. And the crazy part is that there's a huge support system around us that we forget sometimes, and sit there and go, oh, like, I forget that you guys probably, like you said, they probably already figured you were, or, but you had to go through your own journey and your path to figure it out. So, and if you didn't, and someone actually came out and said you were, the first thing we do is we deny it, you know, or we say, well, you know, or we shake, you know, we put it on the rug. We'll sweep it on the rug today. Let's talk about it another time. It's uncomfortable, isn't it?
Absolutely. I can't even count how many times I've denied it over the years, especially throughout high school and college. There were some really rough moments during those years. But I've really come to appreciate the group of people I've chosen to surround myself with. I am lucky to still be very close with the friends I made that freshman year of college, who I actually only recently found out had a group conversation without me our freshman year, where they said, he is clearly gay and he has not realized it yet, or he's not come to terms with it yet. So whatever happens over the next 4 years, we have to protect him at all costs.
Right.
And hearing that was amazing to hear, because it also didn't force me to come out before I was ready.
Right.
I had to be ready to make that step. And I will say that when I finally talked about it out loud, I didn't feel anxious or nervous or stressed or embarrassed or ashamed. It was the first moment in my life where I thought, why do I even have to say this? Straight people don't. And that's when I knew this was the right moment for me.
I love that group of friends, by the way, that you had. I mean, once
me
again,
too.
I tell people, good friends, guys. I tell people all the time, it's like, look, it's not their story to tell. You know, it's your story to tell. And for them just to kind of let you figure that out, those are great friends. So nice one. You chose some good ones. I appreciate that. All right, so let's do this. Let's talk about your role now and with the new Archer app and things like that. So first of all, tell me about your director of brand marketing. How did you get to become the director of brand marketing for, you know, your, I guess, OkCupid you started out with, correct?
Yeah, so I spent 5 years on the PR agency side, working on clients across industries, across sectors. And I joined OkCupid in the summer of 2019 after I got a random DM on LinkedIn from the former chief marketing officer, Melissa Hobley, and she became my manager. But more importantly, she became a mentor and friend over
That's
the
right.
years. And she has since moved to become the CMO of Tinder. So full circle moment, because I actually am dating the first man I ever went on a date with, thanks to Tinder.
Uh-huh.
And this July will be 9 years. So,
oh my God, that's great.
Full circle moment came to the company that is responsible for my relationship. And Melissa has given me so much guidance and is really the driving force behind me expanding beyond the communications field and moving into a more integrated role to tackle or take on a lot of the marketing responsibilities as well. And really, when I think about my role, the common thread, the common denominator between anything that I'm doing is really storytelling for a brand.
Right.
Whether that's through press as the medium, or social, or influencer, or an experiential event, whatever it is, it's really telling the story about who OkCupid is and now who Archer is.
That's great. Yeah, that's wonderful. So with the launch of Archer now, what is your role? I guess, have you switched your role? Are you still doing both aspects of OkCupid and Archer? Or do you running like the umbrella of everything? Or are you now specifically just going to start sticking with Archer and just push that marketing as much as you can?
A lot of my time is being focused on Archer.
Okay.
But I will never let go of OkCupid. So I'm staying on OkCupid. OkCupid will always be my first love in the dating app space. But for Archer, I'm focusing on all the marketing and communication. So it's been busy, but a really exciting past year. And now it's even more exciting that we get to share it with the world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I love the fact that, you know, there's actually something that, you know, reading about it compared to, you know, the Grindrs and some of the other ones where, you know, I hear from a lot of my gay friends, it's just like, oh my God, I just wish that there was something that was for us that we can actually just find someone to meet in the city. When I go to like town to town, like to make more friends that way, to feel not so isolated and I have to go, you know, just find the gay side of town and things like that. You know, I've heard it all. And so for this new app, I'm hoping that it brings a whole new group of guys together, bisexual, whatever it may be, into the fold that they have a space now that they can share and find someone that they truly want to spend time with and go out with, you know, and not just for the quick hookups.
That's what excited me about Archer when I first heard about the app internally, and when we were, you know, when our chief product officer, Marcus Lofthouse, was talking to me about the app, and when I got to actually see the product, you know, to take a step back, I was closeted for over 20 years, and dating apps, as I mentioned, were really the only way for me to connect with other gay men when I graduated. But the options that were available to me at the time only reinforced the idea that queer love and connection should be secretive and hidden. There were a lot of blank profiles.
Okay.
There were a lot of people hiding behind their body parts. And that was really triggering and traumatizing, because here I was thinking, I'm coming to a place where I'm going to find my community and right. I'm going to find other like-minded people. And I have to hide from the world, but I even have to hide within my own community. So when we started speaking with queer men last year about Archer and what Archer was going to become, we realized how badly they really needed an app like Archer. And then we started to build our group of community advocates. And we heard a collective sigh of relief that a new dating app was coming. And the one that was coming is one that celebrates queerness and today's daters. And,
right.
and the way we're doing that from a product perspective is that every single profile on Archer will have mandatory selfie verified profile photos. So a lot of dating apps are using selfie verification. That's not okay. new. What's different about ours is that we are also verifying that the photo that you upload on your profile, your first photo, is of your face, and that we're selfie verifying that, meaning who you are creating the profile matches that photo you upload. So there's no more grids of blank profiles or torso photos. There's no more fake profiles. Who you see is what you're getting.
That's
and you're
great.
Only going to see a grid of smiling faces.
That's great. So let's go back, because and this is very important. I like the fact that what Archer's about. You know, for someone as yourself coming out, right? You're brand new, and I'm hearing that it's almost like there's a secret society, because you're already trying to keep everything a secret anyways, of the fear of being found out, because you're not really ready to come out yet per se, right? And now you're going to this dating app that has all this, you know, no faces, da da da, blah blah blah. How did you navigate through that the first time for yourself? And the next question is that, with you guys going out there talking to the community on what their needs were, how many were like saying, oh my God, this is finally what we're looking for, versus like, you know, going to the grinders and just the hidden torsos and no faces and all that stuff?
The way I navigated it, you know, it being my first experience with gay dating apps specifically, was I got off them. I didn't feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel safe. I felt really overwhelmed. And even though I was still in the closet, I knew this wasn't the right fit for me. And that's actually why I turned to Tinder.
Okay.
Because it felt a little bit more authentic and genuine than the gay dating apps that I had been on. And flash forward to almost 10 years and now getting to lead marketing and communications for a gay dating app that celebrates queerness, what we've heard a lot from people is that what they want from a dating app is fluid. It
okay.
changes all the time. And queer men use these apps very different than heterosexual people. They are using it to find relationships and casual fun, like many people.
Mm-hmm.
They're also using these apps to build community, to find friends, to find their chosen family. They are turning to these apps when they move to new cities to find their group, their people.
That's
and
great.
We wanted to make it easy for them and provide them with all the tools needed to do that in one single app. So that's why we're offering multiple discovery modes, so that what you're looking for on a Friday night or Saturday night, you're also able to find what you're looking for on a Wednesday afternoon or a Tuesday morning. And we're also introducing community building features like group chats, and we're introducing social features like,
I like that.
Being able to upload ephemeral content. So you'll be able to upload photos and videos and stories, and eventually you'll also be able to go live. And the reason for this is we've been talking to a lot of Gen Z queer men, and some of them have a little bit of dating app fatigue and they want a dating app that has a lot of these social features because they are content creators. They're digital natives. They don't, right. They've never lived in a world without social media. So we adopted a lot of the features and tools that they've become used to and brought it into Archer.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's pair.com.
Okay, which means that, so in this case, from what you just said then, someone who's on it, for instance, like, you know, trying to find the social side or the variety side or this and that side, how often does one person, because like you said, I'm hearing like, you know, your Wednesday is going to be different than your Friday or Saturday, correct? So how does one get on to find that Wednesday type versus the Friday type? Do the parameters change, or is it just something that you have to put in your, you know, in your specs that you want for that time or day or that weekend? Do you continuously have to change those parameters on the app to do that?
You can, but okay. You also don't have to. So okay. On Archer, you'll be able to say, I am looking for friends. I am looking for a relationship or hookups. You can say you're looking for one person. You can say you're looking for people who are partnered. Mm-hmm. But you can also toggle between the layout on the app, and that'll help you in your journey as well. So there are multiple discovery modes on Archer. So there's two different grid views, which is probably what you're looking at for that Friday night or Saturday night. Got so it. You can look at a zoomed out grid, which will show you dozens and dozens of photos only. You can look at a zoomed in grid, which will show you about 15 profiles with just photos and names, or you can look at the linear layout, okay. Which will show more robust profiles, more information about someone and what their hobbies are and what their interests are. And this is probably what you're looking at if you're looking for a more meaningful type of connection, whether that be romantic or platonic.
Okay. And then what is the, I know it's still new, obviously, but from your studies and research, what do you feel will be the matching statistics for that situation? Like you're saying, if you pull the grid out a little farther, you're going to see a lot more matches in theory, or people that you might be able to reach out to, versus if you want to get a closer view, you know, it's going to get smaller, obviously. So how do people match up in that sense then? Or what are the statistics that you guys are thinking for each person, for instance, in those situations? So
I think there's going to be many factors. Okay. I think it's going to be dependent on your age, so where you're at in life. Historically, what we've seen is the younger you are, you're probably looking for something a little bit more casual, mm-hmm. versus someone who's in their 30s or in their 40s. So I think your age is going to play a big factor. Your environment is going to play a big factor. So how people date in large metropolitan cities is a little bit different than how we see people behave in the relationship space in rural areas.
Right, correct.
So I don't have a great answer for you.
It's okay. Yet. Yeah, no, this will take time. So, but this is good because that means more people have to sign up. You guys out there need to sign up and figure it out then, right? Because this is what the research is about, getting those early adopters in there so that they can help you guys get the statistics to make this happen. In the meantime, though, I love the fact that you had said something on how people do get dating app fatigue. And this is the next question I want to ask you, because I know even in the straight world, when I broke up with my ex, you know, being married for 17 years and then was getting divorced, I think I got on Tinder and One Under One, and I didn't have an idea how to use that shit at all, Michael, honestly. I was just like, sure, like yourself, you know, you're just kind of going, this is kind of overwhelming, but it's also kind of fun and exciting. And, but the good news is with my modeling background, I could tell real photos from like the tweaked out photos a little bit. So it was easier for me to find people in the space who have those real authentic photos. So, with that being said, how is your point of view on how people now with these dating apps now coming to something new like this, we're like, oh, it's another app, here we go again. You know, how are we gonna switch that up for people now?
Well, as much as people have dating app fatigue, they're still using it more than they were prior. So the average number of dating apps that people are on post-pandemic is actually higher than the amount they were on pre-pandemic.
Okay.
You know, we just love to complain. I complain about work, and I literally cannot imagine working anywhere else. I will probably be at Match Group till I retire, but I still complain about work. So people love to complain about dating. They love to complain about relationships. But I do recommend you have to be in the right mindset to be dating. Whether you're doing that through a dating app or a matchmaker or however you are dating, you have to be in the right mindset. And I tell people all the time, are you getting excited about going on a dating app and meeting with other people? Because if you're not, take a break. The apps are not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. We're always going to be here when you're ready to come back to us. But you have to be in a positive frame of mind, or you're going to be projecting negativity on the people you're matching with or messaging with or meeting in person. You're going to have a bad experience, and so are they. So I really do think you really want to have to, you have to want to find someone.
Right.
And if that's not where you're at, that's totally okay. Do you for a while.
Exactly.
But then come to the apps when you're ready.
It's funny you said that. I had a friend of mine, she reached out the other day. She goes, hey, I'm taking a break. I'm just going to take a break and just need to find my self-love. I need my self-help. I need this. I'm like, good for you. She goes, I'm signing off of everything. Yeah. She goes, I just need a break to figure out what I want for my next step in my life. And I just don't need all the outside noise. And something that I tell everyone in the dating space all the time, exactly what you said. I go, look, I go, if you're really not ready, by the way, I when we're done, I'll send you my my stay in your dating lane quiz so you can feel that out. And then you'll know exactly on certain situations, like there's your adventurous dater, curious, cautious, and wandering dater. And it fits all in the lines of what you just said. But I feel like people have to be in a good state of mind to actually go out dating. And I tell them, I go, look, if you're searching for something, sometimes we get to a point where you're searching so hard that you're losing exactly what you actually want. You know, so first and foremost, dating should be fun. It should be a point of meeting people, meeting someone new and interesting, right? But when you go out with a plan and a program and a checklist, I'm always like, just reel it back a little bit. Just go out and just be, you know, just be in the moment for God's sake, and not writing off your checklist on what's right with this person and wrong with this person. So I agree with you there.
I couldn't agree more. And we should take breaks in every area of our life. I love reading. I love SoulCycle. About a month ago, I was reading a book and I could barely get through a page. So I took a break from reading and I just started again recently. And I was flying through chapter by chapter by chapter. I love SoulCycle, but there was one day where I was like, you know, I'm really not in the mood for this.
Yeah.
So I took a break and started doing walks and runs outside, and now I'm going back this weekend. So you need to take breaks from different areas of your life too.
Yeah, totally, and mix it up 1000%. You know, there's a lot of things out there, and it's just, once again, I love that you said that, because one of the biggest things I tell people, it's like, look, everyone gets in there, that role, that same old, you know, hamster wheel of life. And, you know, and even if you just take an hour, like you just said, and especially, you know, we do it with working out, we do it with eating. I mean, how many times you come and go, what am I eating tonight? I just don't want to make anything tonight, you know, and you just stare, you know, open the fridge and just stare and look inside, and you just close it for a moment, just go, all right, just come back to that later. You know what I mean? So we all need certain sort of breaks. And I actually had that moment yesterday. I came home and I go, I just don't want to do any more work. If I go upstairs and go to my computer, I'm going to be working for another 2 hours. I just need a moment. So what I did was I went outside for a little bit, turned on TV for a minute, which I haven't done in probably 2 weeks, and sat there for about an hour. And then I go, all right, I'm good. And then I went upstairs and I felt refreshed and just ready to go again. So I hear you on that.
Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah. All right. So another thing with this, so with everything as well, what are you doing this Pride Month? Anything that you have planned for yourself outside of work, or are you just kind of just super busy just pushing this during the month and getting it all out there? Because I know it can be kind of a rigorous role pulling out a new app and getting it out there. So I understand that. But what is Michael up to this month?
Well, I'm a Capricorn, so work for me is fun. That is my hobby and interest.
Okay.
Whenever someone's like, tell me what you do for fun, I'm like, I just told you what my job is. That is what I do. For Pride Month, this one's a little bit different than my previous Pride Months. It's a lot of activities for Archer.
Yeah.
So we'll be going to a lot of different gay bars around Brooklyn and Manhattan.
Oh,
so I'm really excited to go to all those different venues and introduce Archer to our future users. So that's nice. Really exciting. I'm also attending a few different Pride events here in New York City. The first one I will have already attended, it was last weekend, is Brooklyn Pride. So went there to check out the Human Rights Campaign booth and see Cheer New York perform. So Cheer New York is a group of LGBTQ plus cheerleaders and allies who perform all the parades across New York City. So keep an eye out for them and all the different ones. But nice. A lot of Archer activities this month.
Good. Are you making your way to Los Angeles, by the way?
In September. So we're bringing Archer there in September.
All right, we're gonna hang out 1000% because I will be at your side just having as much fun as you, let me tell you. So it's funny that I wanna throw something in there. I know that doing Archer and things like that as well, going back to that. You guys are using artificial intelligence. I read that you're using a little bit of ChatGPT to help out with some of the questions and things like that. Do you wanna elaborate a little bit more on how that's working?
So we're doing that with OkCupid, actually.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So at OkCupid, we're such a fun brand. We do all the things.
And it's good to overlap. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of overlap, isn't there?
I hope so. at the beginning of this year, we've been talking about AI for years. That's not a new topic. But in December, January, I just felt like I couldn't look at anything without seeing ChatGPT. Mm. It was all over my Twitter feed. TikTok creators were talking about ChatGPT. Obviously, every news publication in the world was mentioning it. So I took a step back and thought, how can OkCupid become the first dating app to leverage ChatGPT?
It
took me a minute. And then I thought, wait a minute, we're known for our questions. That's our core product differentiator. We're the only dating app in the world that matches people on what matters to them through in-app questions. And we tapped ChatGPT to draft questions for us.
Oh, that's great. And
it was a really fun experiment. There's about 9 ChatGPT written questions in OkCupid right now that have been answered more than 1 million times and counting.
Wow.
And the day we announced this news, we saw the highest rate of logins on OkCupid. This happened in mid-February. So it was the highest rate of logins since November from the year prior.
That's great. I mean, it's not only, I'm sure a lot of people are just curious to know what the questions were, and that's exciting in itself. So I take it, what I'm hearing is you will probably eventually incorporate in some of the things with Archer as well then.
Yeah, so great. I mean, many dating apps like Archer are using AI for moderation and other safety and security type tools, but we'll see what else we do with AI for Archer.
Okay. All right. Well, explain to me, I want you to put out there on someone new into the, the dating world, the dating space, let's just say, they just came out, they're looking for love. What do you suggest? I'm going to start off by saying this. What do you suggest outside of the apps, the first and foremost thing to do to find their community, to feel comfortable? What's the first thing that you think that they should do?
I would say figure out who you are. Love yourself first. And once you feel really confident in who you are and you are ready to celebrate your identity, find people within your community who can be support systems. For me, I have such a strong support system, but they're all mainly straight people who have been allies for me for years. And they're great. They are always going to be by my side. But it was really important for me to feel more connected to my community. And the Human Rights Campaign really helped me with that. I joined as a volunteer in the greater New York area. I then moved on to the steering committee and then moved on to the board of governors. So I got to work with people who were all at different stages of their journey for over 5 years. Got to hear the stories of people in their 40s and 50s and 60s who began their careers closeted and couldn't show up as their true self at work. And then I also was a part of, we had other members on our team who were never really in the closet.
Okay.
So it was really important for me to hear those different perspectives and journeys and experiences, because it made me even more grateful to be who I was. And I came to a place where I felt really lucky and honored to be part of this community. So I would say definitely find your group. There are so many different nonprofits out there that you can volunteer with who will help with that.
Okay.
The Human Rights Campaign, GLAAD, the Trevor Project, GLSEN, the list goes on. There's also local organizations in different cities around the world. So I definitely recommend looking at a nonprofit and
okay.
You know, finding your community within your community first.
Right. Wow. That's a great idea. Really good idea. You know, like I remember the first time where, you know, like some of my really good friends in the community, when I first went to a gay club, you know, they're like, hey, you got to come out, da, 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 you know, and I was like, all right. And like I said, I love people. And so I went for the first time, and I remember I was like, this is my space in theory as well, just because everyone is so secure with who they are. And no one's judging anyone, you know, and you might get some bad seeds here or there, as we all know in every you know, society, every community, right? But for the most part, I just always appreciate the fact that I love, you know, people who are just real, because as you said, it takes a moment. If you're coming out in that sense, you really have to know who you are. And obviously there's people who are still struggling figuring that out, and that's okay, because it does take time. But the ones who were secure, confident, you know, just them, they're the most kindest, most generous, most amazing people I've ever met in my life. And I have so many LGBTQ friends in my life that I just, they're close to me, you know. One of my really good friends and his husband, they you know, they're in their late 60s or whatever like that, but you know, they're like the straight male kind of gay, you know. And it's hard. And I always ask them, I said, well, how did you guys find your community? And they said, you know, like just anything else, like you just said, it's just like finding your tribe, making sure you go out to enough different things and you start finding that type of person or people that you want to hang out with, just like we do. And you know, with anything, like when we find our friends, when I go to new cities, you know, it's like you find your place and your tribe by just literally going to things that you like to do. You know, like one of the things that I love to do, even when I moved to LA, it's like, I love EDM, I love dancing, I love that. So that was the first thing that I did when I came to Los Angeles. And most people, as we all know, they can go anywhere to a big city and have a struggling time finding their community, because it's just like, they haven't really taken time to dive into what they really love to do. And so when I came to LA right away, I found my people right away. So I love it here. I've been here for almost 20 years now. And the first day I came here, I go, I'm never leaving here. You know, so have you been a city boy your whole life, by the way, or where are you originally from?
I'm New York born and raised. So my parents were, I'm adopted by my grandparents, and they were born and raised in Brooklyn. So I grew up about 40 minutes out of the city. I went to college in upstate New York, and I've been working in Manhattan since 2014, 2015. So I can't imagine ever leaving New York. And now I have a New York tattoo. So I actually have to stay. They won't let me leave.
Yeah, the reason why I was asking, because I know like anyone coming in, especially to a new city, that's why one of the things that about the Arch Up that I love was the fact that it's also meant to help you find, when you go somewhere, to help you find your community. And that's something that a lot of people struggle with, you know. After, I'm sure you've met a lot of people who've been there for many years, maybe three or four, and I'm saying that as many years, at the time when they move somewhere and they're like, I just haven't found my place here yet. And sometimes I look at them and go, it just makes me sad, because I go, there's so many amazing people in cities or wherever you're at that you just have to just, you know, just be able to put yourself in those situations. But I appreciate the fact that Archer does help that and helps with that fact.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think it's important. Well, actually not important, but I think, you know, when we were building the app, one thing that was really great about Archer is that so many queer men were part of what Archer became. Mm-hmm. Obviously you have me who's leading the marketing, but the chief product officer is an openly gay man who had a very different experience from me. He came out later in life after being married to a woman and having children. Mm-hmm. So he brought his experience and journey into Archer. I got to bring my experience and journey into Archer. We partnered with GLAAD so that everyone felt represented. And, you know, we wound up interviewing over 1,200 queer men leading up to this announcement.
Wow.
And beyond that, we had over 200 queer men participate in our beta program this year. So for
us, anyone found love that you know of in that beta testing by any chance? Did you guys get that information out of that? Or once it's matched up, it's just out of the hands, right? I take it, right?
There have been a couple of Archer love stories that I can talk about after we stop recording.
Okay. Oh, I love the juicy stuff. They're perfect. Well, people, we're done. Go ahead, Michael.
But yeah, I think that's why Archer is what it is, because there's no one way to be queer. Mm-hmm. There's no one way to use a dating app. Everything about this community is so incredibly fluid that it was really important that we had an app that was just as nimble and adaptive to whatever your needs are.
Great, great. Now, last thing, and then we'll get to a couple more things before we head out, but I know that everything during testing ends up taking a turn somewhere down the road. So I don't know how long Archer has been in the beta form, but what changes have you made since the beta testing that you're like, oh yeah, I can see we might need to do this, or it can go left when we're really trying to go right? Does that make sense?
Yes. What's actually really incredible and truly surprising to me, especially as someone who's never been part of creating and building an app. You know, I've worked on OkCupid, which is a legacy brand that's been for almost 20 years. The version of Archer that was presented last summer, in summer 2022, is almost identical to what is being launched in summer 2023 to users.
That's because great. Because
what we had hypothesized internally, what we thought this community really needed, was reinforced in all our conversations and interviews and focus groups and conversations with GLAAD and our brand ambassadors. And sure, there's been minor tweaks to profile filters, or you know, the color scheme is slightly different, but I'm actually so shocked with how similar the two apps are from the past year and everything that's gone into it. And I think it only makes us more exciting and sure of how amazing Archer is going to be.
Right. You guys put out a good product. That's amazing. And you know, I'd ask that question because I know we all know the turn that Tinder took, at, you know, where it just became more of a hookup thing, where that's the first one that I got on. I was like, oh, I'm looking for just to go out on a date. And like, you know, Chris, now Tinder now is just more of, I go, I did not know that. So that's why I was asking that question, because I know people can end up making it what they want, but I love the fact that it's actually staying from beta to where it is right now. And there has been just little tweaks. That's amazing. So you guys have done a good job, really good job. Well, I'm excited to have you on, and I appreciate you and your time, Michael. Thank you so much for today. Is there anything else that you want to leave us with for yourself before we go? Like, do you want to let us know maybe some possible dates? I know everyone, I said from the beginning that, you know, just go to Google Play, go to any of the app places, look for Archer, download it and get started on it. But it still will be launching in some major cities, as anything new does. It will continuously get to more and more out there as much as they can for everyone, correct?
Yeah, so Archer is available now to download in, like you said, App Store, Google Play, and we're beginning in the New York City area to start. Then we're coming to Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., all major cities, and hopes to be national within the year. But you can follow Archer Dating on Instagram and TikTok and keep up with us there. So more information to come over the next couple of quarters. More and more features will be introduced. So it's going to be an exciting year.
That's very exciting. Well, I'm excited for you guys, and thank you so much for today. All right, guys, we have Michael Kay on our show, and this is an exclusive Dating Intelligence. Jamie Villamore, I'm going to give you a shout out. I miss you, girl, but I had to do this one on my own. Michael, you are an amazing guest, and thank you for allowing us to be a part of this with you. So I'm excited for everything you're doing. And for everyone out there who needs some help, you know, like Michael said, just find your community, find your tribe. You know, you're just always remember, you're not alone. That's the only, the first and foremost thing to say, whether you're heterosexual, you know, whether you're bisexual, whatever it may be, you are never alone. You just have to just make sure that you communicate with the right people. Make sure that you find the people that you trust and the people who will be your support system, and everything usually ends up okay. So, All right, that's another episode, Michael. Thank you. And I guess, guys, you can find me at anything on at social media, Dating Intelligence, or my personal at FedSport. And please look into my dating coach stuff as well. And Michael said a lot of stuff that I'm open for all LGBTQ, heterosexual, and do it all. So my job is to make sure that you can navigate the dating space in the way that it should be done, which is virtually with true authentic self, confidence, and love. All right, Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.